subject today which I want to share, and I've called it Living, Believing, Receiving. And I want to just look at Genesis chapter 12. Before I do that, I just want to say I did so appreciate the volume up a little bit from normal. I appreciated the songs. I appreciated the music. Can we just thank you, Richard? I thought you guys did such a great job. And yeah, it's a good platform then to share, isn't it, when we've really connected with the Lord. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Wow. If you've been reading the Bible in a year, as myself of doing, you will have realized that three times this promise of blessing comes to Abraham in just a few chapters of Genesis. And I was thinking about the new year. We started last week with a particular focus. But new year, we come with expectations. And do you know what I found? It's not just something which, because it's the new year, we ought to, but I find I want to. And I always, for some reason, believe the next year is going to be better than the previous year. I prefer that mindset to the other way around. So when I come to bring a word of encouragement, it's not because I think, oh, we've got to bring something positive. It's because I believe God wants to do something incredibly positive in our midst. And I don't think we quite heard what Malcolm said last week, Malcolm Oliver. And so I just wanted to remind us of the prophecy which he gave us, 2016, a year of the ease. And he reminded us it's not going to be a year of taking it easy. Sorry about that. It's going to be a year when we require, where are we? Effort and energy. And he went on to say, and we'll be seeing many E's this year. It hasn't all come up. Excitement, expansion, expectancy, enlargement, equipping, engaging, epiphany moments. I read a brilliant little book on epiphanies. I can't remember what it's called now. It's by an Anglican guy. And just epiphanies in the Bible. But epiphany moments, encounter moments, times when God reveals himself in a special way, particularly through Alpha. So if you're interested in Alpha, please come along. And enrichment. And Malcolm shared those words, and I thought, yeah, that's for me too. And why do I feel that's a word for us to get hold of? Because it's all in the Bible. That's what God wants for us all, to really enjoy and appreciate him in those different ways. And some of us shy away from energy and we shy away from effort and we just want everything handed to us on a plate. But actually, to fulfill a vision requires energy and it requires effort. It's hard work. But when it's his vision and his dream, it's worthwhile. And so the fulfillment, yes, effort and energy required. And it has to be, another E, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because it's his power, it's his anointing, it's his strength, which is needed to fulfill the plan of God. So Zechariah reminds us, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I think those E's, if we can grasp hold of them, will make 2016 a pretty special year. Would you agree? I think there's something to get hold of there. But today I'm going to look at G12. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, that is. For those that wanted a little bit more. Genesis 12. We are going to be looking at the vision over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at the vision from the Bible. We're going to be seeing principles and distinctives. We're going to be seeing that actually the vision that God's called us to is biblical And we can see, you know, not all the practice is exactly the same because there's no blueprint for practice, but you will find that much of what we believe God's calling us to do was already happening in the Bible. We'll see that God's vision is to bless and conquer the world. And so people like Christina and others who are out there doing their stuff, they are fulfilling that. It's to bless and conquer the world with the love of Jesus. That's our vision too. We'll see that God's strategy is to win souls and make disciples. That's our vision too. We'll see that Jesus discipled a team of 12. And in so doing, his message has spread around the whole world with more than 2 billion claiming to be his followers. The church is the largest people group on the planet. And it started off by Jesus investing in 12 guys who became 12 foundation stones. Seems a good strategy to us. We'll be looking at that. We'll see that small groups as well as larger gatherings are God's plan for his church. That's why we have cells and we have the Sunday gatherings too. And we'll also see that discipling and equipping the church is what Jesus did and what he expects leaders and ministries to do too. As we said last week, we are called, not just saved. So we need to be equipped to fulfill that calling. But today I want to look right back at the beginning at Abraham, or Abram as he was called at this stage. Because like God's call and promise to us, it is quite incredible and totally impossible except for God. This man was married to Sarah. He was an Iraqi. And she couldn't have any children. And to this childless couple, God speaks out his destiny over them. And he says to Abraham, Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So obviously in the natural, that was far from possible. They couldn't have children. And his name, even though it meant Abraham, exalted father, that was far from reality in his experience. But this was God's promise to Abraham. And by faith, by trusting in the word of God, and by obedience, God's call would be fulfilled in this man and in his family. I believe this promise is for us too. We are part of that great nation, Abraham's offspring. Paul explains in Romans who Abraham's descendants really are. They're the people of promise. He says it's not those born of natural descent, it's not the natural Jew, but those born of faith and of the Spirit who are the children of promise, the church of Jesus Christ, and that's us. And so the promise given to Abraham all those thousands of years ago is being outworked among the people of God now, and we can be part of that outworking. His intention is to bless all nations on earth. And later on, God added to, and he said to Abraham, as Abraham had his doubts, he said, and your descendants, Abraham, even though at this stage you're 99 and you still haven't had any children, your descendants, Abraham, are going to be uncountable. You won't be able to count the number of people which you will be the father to. Expansion, multiplication, fruitfulness is the blessing of God. And even if we feel barren now in our spiritual lives, just like Abraham and Sarah, and maybe if we haven't seen much fruit, he can change all of that if we trust him and are willing to obey him. Jesus says, I've come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. To the full, till it overflows. That's the promise of Jesus. Abundant life. Overflowing life. Life to all. He wants to bless his people. He wants to bless us. That we might be a blessing to his world. But the previous verse, which is afterwards there, comes just before that I've just read, says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy Jesus comes to bring life, abundant life. And too many Christians have let the enemy steal the blessings of God on their lives. They've let him steal, kill, and destroy. And so churches and Christians, rather than having overflowing life for the nations and for the communities and for the people around us, we've got nothing to offer. We are as impoverished as they are. But it was not meant to be that way. He wants to pour out blessing that we might bless. The blessing of Abraham is that we'd be blessed to be a blessing to all peoples and all nations. And I think we need to be aware that the enemy is at the door. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy all the time. He wants to take away dreams. He wants to take away hopes. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy families. He wants to bring poverty. He wants to bring sickness. That's all works of the enemy. But Jesus wants to bring life and blessing on our lives and on your business and on your family and on your marriage, so that it will overflow. Financial blessing is from the Lord. It's good. Amen. He wants to prosper us. Poverty is from the devil. Health is good. Sickness is from the devil. But health and healing come from God. He wants to pour out on his people an abundance of blessing and overflowing life. And he wants that life to spill over and touch all those who we come in touch with. So this vision, this call of God, it's not for when we come inside the building here. It's not for when we meet in our cells. That spilling and overflowing is when you're at work. That spilling and overflowing is at school and university. That spilling and overflowing of hope and life and love is at the school gates. And we can invite people into our homes. Do you understand? We're not just adding something on. This is what we're here for. Blessed to be a blessing. Now, I'm quite good at imagination, and so I just want to imagine some things. Imagine if you heard. You know that church that meet at the Pavilion? I went to Cafe 12. Someone prayed for me, and the pain in my leg left immediately. I got a coffee, I got cake, and I got healing. I'm going back. We went to the guys at the Pavilion, and they helped us get our marriage sorted. It was in a mess. We were about to divorce, but they've helped us, and we've never been so much in love with each other. In fact, we are now renewing our vows with them in a special service they've put on. I went to their church on Sunday. God's Spirit touched me. I'm not sure what happened. I thought I had life altogether. But I was just broken by the power of God. I just had to give my life to Jesus. Or Life Spring Church, they provided me with accommodation. I'm living with a family I never had. I feel so loved and accepted for the first time in my life. This is life overflowing, spilling over. I went to bed for the night. They treated me so kindly. The breakfast, of course, was amazing. It was like being in a hotel. Hallelujah. What's that? I've been struggling with anxiety. But I had a few, they call them sozos. And it's gone. I'm happy and relaxed. I've become a Christian. And I've joined one of their cell groups. Life overflowing. For the young people at the Pavilion, never seen such a passionate, happy, radical bunch of youngsters. So much energy, so much life. They did shopping for my invalid lady the other day, and actually the neighbour on the other side, they cleared out his garden. They invited me to an Alpha course, and that's where I became a Christian. Best decision I ever made. It's okay to imagine. And not all of that's imagination. Some of that is true. It's okay. Paul says, though, God can do way beyond what you can imagine or dream by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I just gave a few examples there of what it means for me. Life overflowing. It's not meetings or just meetings. It's meeting God in life, his life, touching others. But the passage which I read, it starts with a challenge and it ends with a response. And the challenge to Abraham was, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. To receive the blessings of God, you have to leave and believe. Probably the other way around, believe and leave. Whichever way around. To receive the blessings of God. If you're not yet a Christian, to receive the blessings of God, you need to leave that old way of life. Believe that God is for you, died for you, Jesus came to save you, and you can receive abundant life. If you are a Christian and what I've described to you seems so foreign to you, I believe God's calling you to leave. I'm going to explain what that might mean in a moment or two. Believe and receive all that he has for you, because he's calling us to live called, not just saved. And so for Abraham, he needed to leave. He had to move. He needed to leave all that was familiar behind in order to receive the best from God. And that's not always easy to do, is it? We like familiarity. We like to be in control. We like what we're accustomed to. Heather brought, I felt, a really important word to us at Sanctification Week the other day, and I can never quite remember how it was, but to me it was, take God out of the box that you've put him in and let him do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And get yourself out of that little box that you've put yourself in and let God be God. Oh, but it's safe to keep God boxed like that and to keep me here. But we'll never receive and experience all that God's got for us if we choose to remain in that comfort zone. He wants us to step out of the boat and trust him for an amazing future. And that's not always easy to do. Everything to date that we've experienced is like the first course. But the main meal is still to come. It's like, oh, I love this prawn cocktail. I just want to keep on eating prawn cocktail. But actually, the fillet steak's even nicer. But we need to leave behind the starters to get hold of the main meal. And I believe God wants to give us, well, if you're not a vegetarian, fillet steak. The best. The best is yet to come. We spent some time with Marika and Albie on Friday. Christian, their son, found the Lord. But he struggled with addiction, came here. He could not break the cycle. If it wasn't drugs, it was drink. An unhelpful company surrounded him. But after a few years, he got desperate. He tried so hard in his own strength to leave the past to get hold of the future. Then he heard about a rehab in the USA. He gave up everything to get to that rehab. He left behind his family, left behind his friends, left behind his job, left behind his church. It was make or break for Christian. And Marika was saying, even on the plane going over to America, where you can have a glass of alcohol with your wine or something, Christian decided, I'm not going to drink any alcohol from the time he left home. And he refused the free drinks offered on the plane. To receive, he knew, he had to leave behind the old. And now, free from drugs, free from drink, surrounded by friends to support him, his girlfriend is the pastor's niece, and he's helping in the ministry to set others free from their addictions. It took effort, it took energy, it took sacrifice, but in leaving the past, he's received the blessing of God. I think Christian is a good parable for us to understand what God's calling us to. Leave the past behind, get hold of the future blessing which God has for us. Coming back to Abraham, he had to make a choice. It was going to be a radical decision to leave everything that he was familiar with behind and to trust God, to go to go to a place which hadn't been fully described to him. But he took that choice. And I want to say to you, some of you, it's time to leave that old way of life behind you. It's already full of compromise. You're saying one thing and you're living another. Christian found that. Christian didn't want to, but he found he was making a confession here which he couldn't live out with the rest of the week. But he faced the reality of that and did something about it. And I think some of us are just happy to come and do what we do on Sundays and then live Mondays as if God didn't exist. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. There's something much, much better for you. And like Christian had to make choices with his friends, some of you need to make choices about who you hang around with because they're doing you no good. And they're going to pull you back into an old way of life. You need to make those choices. It's not that you don't love them, but you need to be in a place of strength with God inside of you where you can have a positive influence on them rather than them having their negative influence on you. Paul says, bad company corrupts. Actually, he says, don't deceive yourself because you think it doesn't. Bad company corrupts. We have to choose friends wisely because the friends that we mix with will have an effect on our lives. The old has to go. Light and darkness don't mix. So I think it's time to be honest with ourselves because God's got so much more to offer, but it's only available on his terms. I want to speak to others of you here as well. You just can't see. Your experience, your perspective, your mindset tells you, what's the matter with what we've got? It's all okay. Church is good. Nev, just be a little bit more grateful. Got a nice building. We've got a nice congregation. Nice people in my cell. Well, we're not growing, but it's nice just to mix with the people that we've known for the last 5 years. Don't rock the boat, Nev. But the trouble is, guys, I've seen more. We will see more in Colombia. But I've seen more in here. There are 200,000 in this town who need to hear and see. They need to see a demonstration of love, kingdom breaking in. And I know good is the enemy of the great. I know we could just settle. And maybe some nice Christians out there might think quite highly, quite well of Life Spring Church. Maybe they don't, I don't know. But we could just settle and think it's all okay. But God's got something much better. He wants much, much more. Because his vision is to conquer nations. His vision is to bless all peoples through the people of God. He wants to bring transformation. You know, I struggle when I hear people have been for prayer and they've been this and that and nothing's changed. Or I've given my life to the Lord and nothing's changed. I struggle with that concept because it's not biblical. I'm not saying it's not your experience. I'm just saying it's not biblical. So we need to go deeper. We need to do more. We need to find the answer because the promise is freedom. The promise is life. The promise is God breaking through. I was saying the other day, the other evening, El Roy. Who knows what El Roy means? The God who sees. And I was saying that in a more negative sense, but El Roy, the God who sees your fasting, the God who sees your praying, the God who sees your giving. And he says it won't go unrewarded. And if we don't see the breakthroughs immediately, he sees. He sees you giving up with food and the media on this occasion. He sees the prayers which you're putting in. And he says he will reward you because he sees, El Roy, the God who sees. And he sees the pain that you're feeling. And he's there for us and he wants to come to minister life and wholeness and healing and to set us free. Why? So that we can be a blessing to the rest around us. We are called to be the hope of the world for the world. So we have to change. The promise is to bless all nations. So church, we have to leave behind an old unbiblical mindset. The good is the enemy of the best. We have to be radical and passionate for the things of God. We have to be prepared, like Abraham, to risk discomfort, even not being absolutely certain where we're leading, but we're following and we're going because he's called us to make a difference to this town and beyond. I want to say last spring, it's time to say yes again. And that's my challenge this morning. Abraham left, he obeyed. He left his father and his brothers and sisters. They weren't invited, but they didn't respond. His nephew came with him. He had to leave behind in order to go to get hold of what God had called for him. You know what? You can have amazing prophecies spoken over you. You can have incredible dreams which you've been dreaming. You can have all sorts of hopes and expectations. And you can believe all the stuff I've been talking about. But unless you're prepared to get out the boat, unless you're prepared to leave behind the familiar, we're never going to experience that call which God's promised for your life. That's his destiny. Abraham had a destiny. Abraham, barren as you and your wife are, you're going to be the father of multitudes. He changed his name in the end to that, father of multitudes. That was God's plan for him. But Abraham had to respond in obedience in order to make it possible for the blessing to flow into his life. And I believe there's some people who I've spoken to today, and you know you've got to change. You've either got to change actions, or you've got to change mindsets, or you've got to change perspectives, but you know you've got to change because God's got better for you. The old has to go, the new has to come. This is the year, I believe, of living the dream of God. I believe this is the year to make or to facilitate all that God wants to do happen in our lives, that we may be blessed to be a blessing to this town and beyond. Could you stand with me together? We have some music behind me, please, Richard, if you don't mind. I'm calling us to be brave. I'm calling us to be prepared to trust God. Trust God for the future. I'm calling us to put his dream, his will, his plan, his purpose for our lives first, which means leaving behind ours some of the time. I believe this is the year for us to be intentional. I believe we've got a choice to make. We can say, I will be a blessing to those in the church and to those yet not in the church. Let's be intentional. I was out on the streets yesterday with some of the guys from here, and blessing was being released. It wasn't just sweets being given out, but prayers were being prayed, and measures of healing came, and two people said they wanted to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may be here this morning, I don't know. But there was something intentional about being out there on the street to be a blessing. Let's be intentional. I'm going to work hard to see my friends saved. My friends need to know there's a better way. I'm going to break fear and embarrassment in my life. I'm going to look for that opportunity to tell them, to invite them to Alpha, to my cell, to a Sunday or whatever it might be. They need to know. I'm going to be intentional. Fear has to go. I'm going to help my cell leader grow their cell. I don't want to sit with five or six of us. It's getting boring. We've been here together for the last two or three years. But this cell is for growth. This cell is to invite people to. I'm going to help my cell leader get their 12. I'm going to work hard. Let's be intentional. I want to leave behind comfort and complacency. I'm too happy just to watch telly. I'm too happy to spend my evenings in the pub. I'm too happy to do this. I need to be intentional. I want to leave that behind. I want to get hold of God's dream for my life. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to live called, not just saved. That's God's plan for each and every one of us, to live called, not just saved. And so, Lord, I pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the example of Abraham, the man of faith that he was. That he was prepared to leave everything behind. All that he knew of familiar, all the old, all the past. He was prepared to leave it behind and trust that voice which came from heaven to say that I'm going to make you, barren as you are at the moment, a mighty nation and bless the whole world through you. Lord, I want to pray you touch our hearts, touch our lives. Help us to see there is more than what we've experienced. The best is yet to come. But Lord, help us to step out of the past into the future and to say, yes, Lord, I'm standing for you. I'm coming to you. I need you. And Lord, for those who've not yet made that commitment to you, I pray that this morning could be the time when they decide to leave the old life, which leads to destruction, and receive new life, which leads to salvation with you. And Lord, I ask you, help us as a church, live not just saved, but called.